Contractor executives are paid 70% more than their federal counterparts, says the Human Resource Association of the National Capital Area. Alan Shvatkin is the executive vice president of the Professional Services Council. He's been looking at the survey and the numbers, and he's my guest to tell me what he sees. Alan, good to talk to you again. Thanks for coming on.
Francis, my pleasure.
What do you see when you look at these numbers?
Well, let's see a couple of things. This is the seventh year that the Professional Services Council has partnered with the Human Resource Association on this compensation survey. And for this portion, we look at companies that have more than 50% of their revenue coming from government contracts. Across over 450 jobs, we've looked at pay. And so when we aggregate all of that, pay for government contractor employees is still higher than the pay for federal employees, and that gap is getting a little wider. But it's important to look at individual jobs and individual job categories, but in the aggregate, that pay gap is getting wider.
Well, how does that fit into the whole narrative about the back and forth that federal employees get paid more, contractors get paid more, back and forth and all that?
Well, oftentimes the debate is about different baselines. Some of the reports look at government salary and compare that salary against a contractor billing rate. It is what the government contractor charges, not just for the salary of the contractor employee, but for other expenses, the indirect cost for maintaining facilities, for example. Others look at different baselines and averages. What we try to do here is look at over 400 jobs specifically, and when you rack them all up, that's where you get that pay differential. This is a salary-to-salary comparison. Some other baselines, and we make the argument too, certain jobs, the government in fact makes more than the contractor employees, and we've identified in our survey several jobs where that's the case.
Tell me about some of those, if you would, please.
Be happy to. And one of them, for example, the government for an HR generalist, the federal government median, and for those who – I'm a government contracts lawyer, not a statistician, but the median is the salary where half of the salaries are higher and half of them are lower than this number. The government median is $109,000. In the government contractor component of that, the government contractor is only paying, there's the median, 83.4. So in any one company, if you compare that job to others, there are certainly HR specialists who are making more than the government employee. But as we looked across the family, that's one example. We look at something like a social worker. We don't have too many of those in the professional services world. But in the government, the median, $79,800 for the government contractor, 64.5. Some of that may be the small sample that we're using, not too many employees in those kinds of jobs, but two examples. On the other hand, the chief technology officer, these are principally senior level positions. The median in the federal government is $129,700 per year. For the government contractor, it's $230,000. So job by job, position by position, level by level, varies all over the place.
You said that overall the trend is that the gap is widening between federal employee and contractor employee.
That's correct.
How is that trend, how fast is that split accelerating, or is it contracting but the contractors are still ahead, or how does that look over the last couple of years?
Well, over the last couple of years, the trend is still there, but slower. For example, last year, the government contractor pay was about 2% increase year over year in the median pay. This is where that 50% salary is. The government is essentially zero. In the prior year, the government pay, the differential was 2.3%, so it's a little lower in this year, 2.1%. And so we look across that. That's where I said the gap is still there, but it's not getting as wide as fast.
Do you get a sense of why that's happening?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, there's been some arbitrary decisions on the government side. Salary freezes obviously contribute significantly to that leveling, to having the government at a zero for individual jobs and for some federal agencies. The cap on the senior executive compensation means that in an uncapped environment, many of the contractors don't have a salary cap on pay, so you get compression at the federal level. Federal employees, you don't have those at in some of the contractor positions. The ability to attract some talent in some of the higher skilled jobs simply don't exist in the in some of the government space, or not in the large numbers that make us sample statistically significant, where we do have those, like in the technology space. So I think there's a couple of factors. No one single factor contributes to the is the single determinant.
Do you see anything here that might give you an indication of where things are headed over the next year, 18 months, 2 years, as the budget tightens and the pay freeze continues in government?
Well, I think the competition for talent in both the government and the government contractor space is getting more challenging because of the salary compression in the government space. It's harder and harder. If other human resources issues like pay freezes or other kinds of downsizing, a backfill of one person for every two vacancies or two for every three vacancies takes place, that'll make the government less attractive to the outside. Similarly, in the government contractor community, we have similar constraints. Some insourcing activity still taking place. All of that makes the government market a little less desirable when government contractors compete with other components in the private sector, with the Googles or the financial institutions or the electricity companies, who are all competing for cybersecurity capabilities or an analyst.